Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com. This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The column is entitled, Make Your Office Make a Statement. And here's what Jim has to say about it. This column is for the younger generation. Ready? Away we go. You get your degree and head off to the mill to work. Or perhaps your first job is with a supplier. In any case, you are proud of your accomplishments to date. But reality is about to set in. After you sign the pile of papers from the Human Resources Department, you will be taken to your new office. Unless the entire facility is brand new, expect to be taken to the darkest, dankest hole in the building. After all, you're the junior person on board. Do not despair. There is nothing personal about this. No one hates you. You are not being shunted downward by a higher power. You are simply the no-name, most junior of all junior people, period. What to do? Start by making your office the neatest office on the planet and keep it that way. I don't care what the walls look like or what the furniture looks like. You are going to stay late and get all the crud off of every surface. It may take several evenings. There also may be several piles of other people's stuff stored in your new office. Find the owners and be polite, but clean it out. Give them a few days to find a new home for their junk, and then nicely inform them that you will have to put it in the trash by the day after tomorrow. It will leave. Now you have your domicile in the best shape possible, and you're going to keep it that way, so don't let it get cluttered up again. So what do you do next? This is easy to say, but a bit more difficult to accomplish. Make your domicile the best return on investment by volume at the facility. This means that you do the best projects, the projects that are most valuable to the operation. Most important, you do these humbly and quietly. Don't worry, you will get noticed. First of all, you will be noticed by your lazy peers who will try to trip you up. But eventually, upper management will note your performance and notice your office because they will come visit you. Now, of course, this whole column is not about your office. In fact, it was never meant to be about your office. It is about getting your attitude and career off to a good start. We don't want to let that hole in the wall they put you in affect you in any way. It is just a place to sit while you start to become a great contributor to your company. Now, when it comes to safety, make sure you know at least two paths of egress from your office. If there is only one, not surprising if you have the worst office in the building, and miraculously there is a window, quietly and personally by a short-handled sledgehammer, safety glasses to use while you use the hammer to break the window, and enough heavy rope to reach the ground. The rope should be long enough to tie around something heavy, like a desk leg or file cabinet, and be knotted every 3 feet for grip. When in doubt, buy a long rope. Keep these items handy in a sack in the bottom drawer of a file cabinet or other unnoticeable place. They may save your life one day. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Save the date. The Pulp and Paper Industry Reliability and Maintenance Conference, sponsored by IDCON and Andritz, will be held March the 19th through the 22nd in Raleigh, North Carolina. Gain valuable knowledge and skill in reliability and maintenance best practices at the How-To Conference. Sign up early and save. For more information, email r.kent@idcon.com. That's r.kent@idcon.com. Or visit us at pprm.net. Space is limited, so don't delay. Sign up today.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The column is entitled, Being Hands-On Engineers and Scientists. And here's what Jim has to say about that. It was not so long ago that engineers and scientists often came from a rural background. This is still true in developing nations, but for those of us living in developed nations, it is usually no longer the case. My own experience is a good example. The practical application of working engineering and applied science, which surrounded me daily as a youth on the farm, helped develop my interest in becoming an engineer. My dad's outlook was one of repair it yourself. Of course, when the hot water heater went out and you needed a new one, you bought it and installed it yourself. That you wouldn't think of hiring anyone to do such a simple job illustrates how things used to be. Today, people wait on the side of the road for the auto club to come and change a flat tire. This has become the norm, not the exception. In fact, one consulting engineering firm I have worked with has a name for these book-learning-only engineers. They call them cubicle engineers. I am always doing something practical around our home. Over the years, this has included things like building a basketball court and finishing the basement. I've also designed and built an electric dumbwaiter that hauls the laundry from the first floor to the second. I used a garage door opener standing on end for the power source. It is to our industry's detriment that young engineers and scientists have little practical background and often seem not to be interested in one. Several years ago, a senior-level executive in one of our industry's companies told me they were stopping their support of a very well-known pulp and paper school because of their experience in hiring graduates from it. These young scientists were interested only in working in the lab. They did not want to get involved with operations and suffer the unpleasantness associated with a career in such an environment of heat, cold, and noise and shift changes.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster, Airmaster, Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster.
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes. Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
For pulp and paper companies to be successful, we need young people willing to start their careers working shifts and with at least the aptitude to learn practical matters. You can test for these attributes and weed out those that can't demonstrate a willingness to enter the industry in this manner. It would behoove our schools to add from day one a bit of this practical side to the education process. It may not be possible to do so within the classroom, as academic programs are already overflowing with required courses. But through extracurricular activities and internships, students should be encouraged to get their hands dirty. In the work environment, it may be valuable to encourage our engineers and scientists to take courses at local two-year schools in subjects such as welding or auto repair. Such courses can help round out people and add a touch of practicality to their education. Another way would be to invite your local big box home improvement store to offer some of their in-store classes on how to do simple household repair jobs at your mill site. These could be on Saturdays or concurrent to shift changes, where employees could easily attend on their own time. In my book, The Lazy Project Engineer's Path to Excellence, I point out in the early chapters the problems with cubicle engineers. Some of the ideas here can help your facility overcome these issues and ultimately move to a higher plane of operations integration. As you consider safety, consider that teaching practicality does involve a new set of safety skills. Practice welding, for instance, takes safety to a whole different level from reading about it in a book. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
This column is entitled Public Relations, Doing Good and Telling People About It. This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. And here's what Jim has to say about public relations. The reality of the pulp and paper industry today is that it is tightly regulated, closely watched, and by and large composed of good citizenry. No, it has not always been that way, and yes, there is still the occasional unveiling of a bad action by a bad actor. But for the most part, we are good citizens of the world. The non-governmental organizations such as Greenpeace, Environmental Defense Fund, and others came into being in the 1970s. Personally, I was turned off by them immediately, for they violated laws to make their points. Greenpeace's illegal boarding of fishing vessels sticks in my mind. Justifying your illegal acts because, in your opinion, someone else is doing an illegal act does not constitute a viable case with me. Nevertheless, in the 1970s, these environmental advocates could be considered forward thinkers. They had a vision, whether you believed in it or not, that pollution was taking the world down the wrong path. Their vision was ahead of most others. Now, however, the tables are turned. Most activities at pulp and paper mills are done under BACT, Best Available Control Technology, or MACT, Maximum Achievable Control Technology, without exception. These protocols are written into the appropriate regulations and laws. This leaves the environmental advocates in a quandary. Their job is finished. They have nothing to do. That means they cannot sustain their business model, for who is going to give them money? They don't manufacture anything. They are solely dependent on sympathetic handouts and manipulation of the system to get government funds. So they ratchet up the rhetoric. They depend on generations of young people born since the major environmental improvements were made. They don't mind if these new generations get the wrong ideas and equate us to the polluters of the 1970s, or it helps them survive. The environmental advocates have become the old-fashioned part of the equation, and they don't mind that as long as they can continue the myth of pending disaster. It's time to call them out. For example, we've published several stories about how Resolute is responding to them. But I have mentioned elsewhere that appeasement does not work. The real objective of the environmental advocacy groups today is their own survival. They cannot afford to declare a great victory, for then their incomes dry up. They're in quite a predicament. For safety this week, consider your personal environment as you do your job each day. There are two dangers here. The first is this. If your job requires you to stay in one place all day, you may become complacent to the dangers around you, and there are dangers everywhere, even in an office. If your job requires you to roam around your facility, there may be dangers in places with which you are not completely familiar. Either way, hazards abound. So be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Sohegan Wood Products' two core plugs feature superior crush strength, helping paper companies reduce loss claims for pennies per roll. See their ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com.
Hello?
Hey, Pete. This is Jane at Rocky Creek.
Hi, Jane. What's up?
Actually, Pete, I was kind of surprised to find you in your office. I thought your big boiler shutdown was going on.
We got done early. What can I do for you?
That's what I was calling about. Our recovery boiler outage is coming up next quarter, and I was wondering if you had any current experience with outage contractors.
Well, as I said, we got done early, a day early, and under budget. Most importantly, we had a zero safety incident rate.
Wow, who did you use?
RMR Mechanical. They even had time to teach our own maintenance people a thing or two.
That's good to know, Pete. Got their number?
RMR Mechanical. Call us at 770-205-9646 or meet us at rmrmechanical.com. This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. The title of this column is How Well Do You Know Your Territory? And here's what Jim has to say about that question. You've got to know the territory. As I remember it, this was a song sung by a chorus of some erstwhile salesmen in the Broadway show The Music Man. If you're a mill manager or a department manager, it is your responsibility to be a walking encyclopedia about your territory and all that is in it. You've got to know your territory. A pop quiz any day in your morning meeting should yield, without notes, answers such as digester capacity, paper machine top speed, refiner HP tons per day, if in the U.S., and metric elsewhere, capacity for each cleaner bank, and so forth. You and your team need to be so enthusiastic that these figures accurately trip off the tongue without thinking. If you don't know them, you are most likely a sleepwalking manager. If you are really good, you will know the balance speed of all your major rotating machinery, too. Some think of management by the classical definition, allocation of scarce resources. Others see it as purely a people motivation exercise. Both are valid but incomplete looks at the complexity of operating a mill. I once knew a manager who thought it was a badge of honor that he knew nothing technical about his area of responsibility. The only thing fixed about your operation is the equipment and process systems, tankage, piping, and controls that link it all together. A very large portion of your job as a manager is to optimize the use of this equipment and these process systems. How can you possibly do this if you do not know what their capabilities are? Can you draw accurate flow diagrams of your mill, noting and labeling the capacities of the process equipment without reference to any documents? Your best competitors can. They know their mills and know them inside and out. You and your direct reports should know this for all portions of the operation for which you are responsible. If you don't know this information, where do you start? Well, you start by gathering P&IDs, that is, process and instrument diagrams, operating manuals, operating training software, and anything else that may be applicable. Break your direct reports into departments or smaller units if you are a department head, and go to school on this stuff. Now, classroom time is good and essential, but it is no substitute for wandering out in the operation and putting your hands on everything. You have to see it physically in order for it to stick in your mind. Set a timetable. 10 weeks is reasonable to learn all this information, and stick to 10 weeks no matter what happens. Catastrophes, unscheduled downtime, and all. No excuses. You should have it committed to memory in 10 weeks. Have some fun with this. Have some pop quizzes in your morning meetings. And don't ask all the questions yourself. Let others do this too. When do the pop quizzes start? Right away. When do they end? Never. If you have been experiencing poor operation, wild swings, and unscheduled downtime, adopting this approach is one of the strongest steps you can take to move things to a higher and more consistent level of performance. Don't delay. Start today. Make sure you know all you can about safety issues. Take that attitude to your operations, and your part of the mill will not only run better, but reinforce safety too. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Sohegan Wood Products' two core plugs feature superior crush strength, helping paper companies reduce loss claims for pennies per roll. See their ads on Nip Impressions at www.nipimpressions.com.
Shutdown. You planned it months in advance, or perhaps it was totally unexpected. For both kinds of shutdowns, the Pro Services Pulp and Paper team will be on the job immediately to get your pulp mill or your paper machine up and running again as quickly and efficiently as possible. For planned shutdowns, our pulp and paper project managers work with you weeks in advance to understand your needs and begin meeting them immediately as soon as the line stops. For those unplanned shutdowns, our full service team can be instantly on the job with your team to find, understand, and correct all problems. Whether it's a planned or unplanned stoppage, your know-how plus our know-how will get your line up and running again safely and efficiently. Together, we can be ready for your next shutdown recovery or planned maintenance operation. Call us at 269-327-2322 or visit us at prosatwork.com. At Pro Services, we work.
This column is entitled People versus Computers. It was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. And here's what Jim had to say. I was talking to an old friend who spent one of his college days summers doing fetch and carry work in a paper mill,
Although it had been many years ago, he was still in awe of, quote, that big old paper machine and the fact that it took 12 or 13 men to run it. No more, Tom, I said. I explained how process automation had swept through paper mills and swept out the hands-on operation of paper machines and other equipment. If he went into a machine room today, he would probably see a couple of people sitting in an air-conditioned booth looking at computer screens. Now and then, one of them might twiddle a knob a bit or move a slide control a fraction of an inch. Paper is made today by only a mere fraction of the people who once populated machine rooms. The trend toward fewer employees in our pulp and paper mills started many years ago. It was originally driven by cost and quality. Employees cost money. When computers came along that could adjust various attributes in real time, as opposed to employees monitoring conditions, pulling levers, and turning valves, the replacement was inevitable. Then employees started costing even more money. Accidents led to lawsuits, higher insurance premiums, and absenteeism. Pensions, insurance, and other government mandates have pushed the burden on top of employees' salaries to nearly 40% in some cases, not counting the risk of employee-generated lawsuits. Add to this notification rules about layoffs in the United States and the near impossibility of laying off employees in Europe, and you could see why employers look at employees as something to avoid. So the drive continues to eliminate employees. What's in the future? We have talked about it here before. Expect centralized control rooms where regionally located expert operators run several machines. At the machine sites, there will be only junior-level operators with limited responsibilities. Look for clothing companies to expand their service with expert teams that come in to install new wires and felts. Since they will be experts, they will need fewer hours to do what you have been doing, because they do it every day. They also will not be on your mill's payroll. A large labor component persists in maintenance. The day is coming when regional central maintenance shops owned by your company or an outside firm will receive large unit sections from your mill for refurbishment, much like rolls are rebuilt today. This will take more standardization than today, but it is coming. What is driving all this? Two things. The first is the ever more complicated equipment, which requires highly trained professionals to operate and maintain. The second is government-imposed employee liabilities, from layoff notifications to mandates for time off to take care of new boards to universal health insurance. The more government mandates, the fewer employees. Now, don't get me wrong. All of these government protections for employees are good. But companies being what they are, they are going to work very diligently to reduce these costs, costs that these days frequently only start with the salary. The hidden burden is becoming extraordinarily high. Productivity improvements have steadily driven industry for decades to make more product with less people. That is how societies achieve a higher standard of living. However, we're moving into a new era, one where the protection burden afforded employees drives companies to do everything they can to eliminate employees. That's the unintended consequence of a high protection requirement. For safety this week, less people on one hand means less potential for accidents. On the other hand, those still operating our facilities may have to learn new safety techniques as they interact with robots and other devices. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.